What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Something About Sports podcast. This is actually my first KU basketball game day edition of the season. Wanted to chat a little bit about KU's game against TCU, do a little bit of a recap of the K-State game, and just kind of hop into it a little bit. I was going to combine this with a Chiefs game preview as well, but I'm cutting it close on the clock. So we're going to just talk KU. I'll be back here in a little bit, and I'll drop the Chiefs one as well. I got to get some things edited and added. So, yep, on this, so KU basketball, let's hop right into it. They're going into another top 15 matchup, coming off of a top 15 matchup against a team that'll probably be in the top 10 now after their victory over Kansas. That K-State loss, as rivalry games tend to do, sometimes rivalry games feel a lot more brutal and a lot bigger in the moment than they actually are. I don't necessarily think that this K-State game really had a lot of effect on what this team is or who this team is. And I didn't really change that tune. It didn't change that tune to me. I mean, this is a really, really good K-State basketball team with an NBA player that had a really good game. And quite frankly, if you look at some of the circumstances for Kansas in this game, you're probably more astonished that they were even in the game at all. You talk about a night where they were just abysmal from the three-point line. They were abysmal from the free throw line for the majority of the night. They cleaned it up a little bit down the stretch of the game, but for the majority of the night, they weren't really good on the free throw line either. Uncharacteristic turnovers. You talk about three starters fouling out, which is something that I don't ever really remember happening in a game under Bill Self. I don't really remember that happening in a KU game ever, really. Three starters fouling out in a game, even in overtime. I just don't think I ever remember that. And I think that really messed up the flow of the game down the stretch. But I think for me, you know, this is a game that could have got out of hand with a lot of the uncharacteristic things that Kansas did. It could have gotten out of hand, but I think that they did a really good job defensively on Marquise Noel. Desi Sills kind of filled that role a little bit, but some of that balanced out, not really getting, you know, a really good shooting night from nothing from Kevin McCullough, really not getting a good shooting night from Grady Dick. But some of that stuff balanced out with some of the things that went on K-State side as well. But one thing that right on brand for this season for Kansas, Jalen Wilson, another masterful performance and a masterful season that he's having. All-American, Big 12 Player of the Year, National Player of the Year. He deserves all of those conversations. 38 points, 9 rebounds, 2 blocks, 48% shooting on high volume. This is a guy who pretty much had to carry this offense for a lot of the game. And he delivered. You know, he was marvelous the entire game. I just talked about how much this team needed him to continue to be aggressive and try to score the basketball while Grady Dick is being face guarded, or while he's struggling offensively, still figuring out how to be his most effective at the college level. You need Jalen Wilson, because Jalen Wilson's really the only other guy who's going to put his head down and get you a basket who starts for this team. Kevin McCullough, DeJuan Harris are complimentary scorers. Grady Dick's, he's got the talent to be there, and he will be there by March and by when this season really matters, but he's still figuring that out. He's still learning how to use his athleticism, how to affect games, and we're already starting to see it. We're starting to see in games where he's not scoring points, he's getting rebounds, he's blocking shots, he's getting steals. In games where he's not making threes, like this K-State game, he's still scoring the basketball. He's finding ways to get to the basket, making good cuts, rebounding the basketball. So he's starting to figure that out, and I think he just continues to grow into that, and he'll help a lot. But KJ Adams is another complimentary scorer. He's a guy who is helped a lot by the guys around him. Jalen Wilson is a guy who you can find a mismatch. You can post him up and find a mismatch. He can face up and find a mismatch. You can get him an open jump shot. He just brings a lot to the offense, and he has a lot of different skill sets that Bill Self can utilize. And I think that's why we're seeing him in this high-volume role. And he's continued to deliver. I mean, KU really needed every single point that he scored, including that other three that you know, got called off by the timeout, which, in my opinion, that timeout was fine. I think that a lot of people were more upset about that timeout after the ball had kind of whipped around and nothing really happened. I think more people were upset about that timeout than the timeout that I thought was a little bit worse, which was the one down the stretch in overtime. I think Kansas could have had K-State reeling if they don't call a timeout there and they just figure out a set to get going. I mean, you know who you want the ball to go to. I think the timeout complicated it more. But the timeout before the Jalen Wilson three, I'm not upset at that timeout at all. Most of the time in college basketball, the coaches are calling those timeouts. And quite frankly, even on a night like that, I'm sure Bill Self wasn't super happy with that shot. It just so happened to go in because Jalen Wilson was having one of those nights. So that's just one of those situations where it's tough. I do think a timeout down the stretch and overtime was a little bit tougher because you know who you want to get the ball to. They don't have a chance to set their defense up. And he had just been rolling. You really kind of get him the ball and either let it, you trust him to find a good shot or force the refs to make a decision. But, you know, you call a timeout, you try to set something up with guys who aren't normally involved, and you turn it over at game point both times. I think that's the toughest part for me. And this section was not supposed to go into Jalen to, you know, talking about that part of the game. But I don't want to shortchange Jalen Wilson. Jalen Wilson, outstanding. I think he's second in the National Player of the Year race. Zach Edey's just absolutely ridiculous. I think he's got to be number one. But Big 12 Player of the Year, hands down, first team All-American. This guy's doing it all. He's following in Ochai Agbaji's footsteps, and I think he's even having to carry a bigger workload because Ochai Agbaji didn't have a Jalen Wilson to help me, or Jalen Wilson doesn't have another Jalen Wilson to help him like Ochai did. So good to see Jalen stepping into that leadership role. Like I said, not a lot of big takeaways. I think that the missing the starters, I just think that that's tough. You know, once you get that foul trouble from the starters and you foul three guys out, guys that are big, big parts of what you want to do on most game days, that's tough to come back from for any team. It's hard to do. And I think you saw Bill Self kind of trying to figure it out at the end. And you got guys like Zubi Ejiofor and Joe Yesufu involved in plays at game point. And that's just not ideal for this basketball team. And it just went the other way, you know. And you need somebody else to emerge. I think the two things that we walk away from this game that I can definitively say are things that we need to talk about are things that we've talked about already. You need somebody else in the starting lineup to emerge as a scorer. DeJuan Harris was doing it for a while, and it's working. KJ Adams has continued to do that, but he fouled out in this game. Kevin McCullough had 0 points, and I think that's where you really want to pinpoint that. And I talked about it a little bit on the last podcast, so if you want to hear me talk about Kevin McCullough and kind of his offensive struggles and what I think about him as a player, you can go check there. He's going to give us more offensively, but what he does elsewhere on the basketball court is going to earn him minutes on a Bill Self team. He's a Bill Self guard if you've ever seen one, and I've said that multiple times. Bill Self's going to love that guy. He's going to play him a lot of minutes because he can trust him to do the things that he wants his guards to do. But with that, he at least has to make a couple of threes a game or score some baskets here and there and generate some kind of offense as a veteran and one of the main leaders of this team. He's going to have to figure that out. So it's going to come from somewhere. It's just about figuring out who's going to settle in, who's going to be that next consistent scorer. And also that'll help loosen the defense on Grady Dick a little bit if you have somebody out there that's a threat. So that's the biggest thing, I think, to take away. And then the bench, of course, as well. You need somebody to emerge off the bench. You really needed it in this game. You've seen it in spurts throughout the season. Joe Yesufu will have a game here, or Bobby Pettiford will have a game here, or Zach Clements will have an impact on a game here. But you're not seeing it on a consistent basis. And I know some of that is just because Bill Self's not really consistent with the minutes the bench plays or the guys who play off of the bench, but somebody's got to at least be able to emerge for situations like that game where you have guys fouling out and you need to trust somebody else. You need to have somebody that you can put in there that you at least can hope can make something happen or think you can trust in that situation to make the right decisions. But all right, hey. As a KU fan, I mean, you just got to congratulate K-State. They have a good team this year. They got a good coach for now, and they should be proud of that. As a KU fan, it always sucks to lose to them. It always sucks. But if they have a good team and they beat you on a game like that, you have to just accept that and move on with it. You know, you play as often as you do against K-State. You're going to lose some, especially when they have teams that have this much talent and that are playing this good. As good as they're playing right now, you're going to deal with some of those slip ups. You're going to deal with some of those losses in rivalry games. And I mean, it's okay. They lost in a crazy, crazy game and a fun game to watch. And we'll see them again on January 31st at Allen Fieldhouse. I'm pretty sure the result will be different, but it'll be fun. And that'll make that game more exciting as well. It'll juice that game up depending on standings and what's happened since then. So super, super fun. Great game to watch. Wish KU could have came out on top. But at the same time, it is what it is. They got to move forward. They got another big game today against TCU. who to me is a top three team in this conference when they're rolling as well. TCU is number 14 in the country. Really, really good team. They have all the pieces that you need. It kind of started to show a little bit in the NCAA tournament last year when they made their run, started having a couple of upsets. But this year they've hit the ground running and started to showcase why they were able to make that run. They have a superstar in Mike Miles, a really, really good scorer, a guy who can score from every level and create for teammates as well. Strong inside presence with Eddie Lampkin. He's a load on the inside. He's a more traditional big, I would say, but he's very nimble, and he can jump to block shots. He's very he can anticipate shots well and then anticipate jumps well. So he's a guy that he can make a big impact down low. And then you have really, really good complementary pieces to even some days being the top guys in Damian Bowe, Emmanuel Miller, and Chuck O'Bannon, who round out their top five. This is a very good, a very, very good team. And they can give any team in the country problems on any day, and they can give Kansas problems in Allen Fieldhouse 100%. This is a very, very talented team, a team that's playing with confidence. They are coming off of a loss to Iowa State, who also is having a really good year. So both of these teams are coming off of a loss. But the thing that we know is that only one of them is playing at home in the fog in this game. And I think that's going to be the biggest difference. And I still feel like if Kansas was going to TCU for this game, it's hard to anticipate Bill Self teams losing two games in a row. It's just not something that happens very often. But I do think this will be a hard-fought top 15 matchup. I do think that TCU will make this game tough on Kansas, especially them coming off of a loss as well, not wanting to fall deeper in the Big 12 standings, not wanting to lose another game. So it'll be a tough one, but I think Kansas prevails in the fog. You get some of that fog magic, but I think you're probably looking at a 7 or 8 point game, not a down to the last possession type game. But Kansas gets back on track in the Big 12 race in this one, gets a victory over TCU, handles business there. And then you move on to your next game. Actually, I don't remember which the next one is. Let me go grab that note real quick and see where that next one is. All right, guys, this is taking forever. Because I have it in my notes somewhere, but not sure where I left that at. But anyway, let's find the schedule. I had the schedule in my notes, but I'll just find the schedule because it's worth talking about. So you got at Baylor. So we got TCU, and then we'll be moving on to at Baylor, getting back on track there. Another tough game. So this will be a fun one to watch. I don't know what the score is going to be. I'm guessing it probably gets up in the 70s. TCU can get up and down and score too. So I'm guessing it gets up in the 70s somewhere. And I'm guessing that you have another game out of Jalen Wilson. I think this is a game where he impacts it somehow, some way. It's going to be about how Kansas can contain their wings, though. Guys like Emmanuel Miller and Damian Bowe, they can really fill up the score sheet. They can score a lot of points if not defended well. So it'll be interesting to see how Kevin McCullough, DeJuan, Grady Dick, how they play defensively against those guys, especially Mike Miles. But those complementary pieces are really where TCU can get after you. So excited to watch that. I think we see a bounce back game from Grady Dick, probably a few threes on the board. Mike Miles probably puts up 20 plus. I'm hoping we can see Jalen Wilson kind of follow up his big performance with another one. But I'm guessing he probably, you know, concedes a little bit to Grady Dick in this one. Grady takes over. Jalen Wilson probably finishes somewhere around like the 17 point mark and Kansas wins it going away. KJ Adams will have double digits again. It's just kind of automatic. And, I talked about him as well on the last one, but I guess let me go out with that point. KJ Adams, the progression that we've seen from KJ Adams in season this year is something that I just don't remember seeing under Bill Self. I think like the only other player that really progressed in season that much is probably Joel Embiid. And I don't want to put Joel Embiid and KJ Adams in the same conversation, but in college, Joel Embiid really improved a lot. And I think KJ Adams has done the same. I'm trying to think of somebody else that improved as well. I mean, Josh Jackson improved a lot during his time at Kansas, but I don't think it was this rapid, this fast like KJ. Joel Embiid is the only one I can think of. But, I just going on that point. I didn't want to forget to mention KJ Adams and how good he's been. Enjoy this game. Thank you guys for listening. Should be another hard-fought one. We'll chat after it, and I'll be back here soon to talk to you guys about the Chiefs a little bit. Thanks for listening, and until next time.